right, hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your daily show to deep dive into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John. You keep adding and like changing this up little by little, and it always throws me.
I just want to see, I love seeing your face when things don't go strictly according to your plan or what you're expecting to happen.
Yeah, no, it's I don't like it.
Oh man, we're here to talk about minute 1 hour 3 to 1 hour 4. That's how my time format is written in my notes. That's what, 63 to 64?
That's what mine is, yeah. Okay. 63 to 64.
Okay, cool. This minute starts with the carry-all crew calling for backup, and it ends with Leto being a boss, figuratively and literally.
He is the big man in charge. So yeah. Big man on campus.
That's right. So the anchor is officially dead. We heard Kynes go, shit. And they're calling for any other carry-all that's in the sector. Everyone is freaking the fuck out right now.
Yep.
For good reason. Spotter 1 confirms that the hydraulics are dead.
So, and then says 4 minutes to contact.
Yep.
Which, so we talked about last episode, maybe? The episode before? I don't remember.
Earlier this week.
How in the book it was 25 minutes to contact. This, I think, is why they did 5 minutes in the movie, because we're now down to 4 minutes. Everyone knows how quickly 4 minutes can go,
yep.
And panic is really setting in at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no way that another carry-all can get there in time.
No.
Even if there is another one in the sector.
No, absolutely not. I love over the radio, we just hear some guy go, try it again.
Yeah.
Do you try turning it off? Turn it off and turn it back on. Sometimes that works.
We both work in IT.
Yeah. So yeah, the desperation is real. Leto asks about the staffing on the crawlers, and it's something like 20.
Crew of 21.
Crew of 21. Thank you. I forgot to write that down.
Yep.
Then Paul
Leah
does.
Leah Kynes looks at him like he's insane, by the way, when he asks this question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure if that shit doesn't work, if the carry-all doesn't work, they're just like, well, sucks to suck. That's the
see ya.
That's the job, I guess.
Yeah.
From the back seat, Paul does some impressive quick math.
Whoa.
He truly is the yeah. Lisan Al Gaib. Kwisak Haderach. Does some 21 divided by 3.
Yeah.
Figures out, hey, that's 7 people per ship.
Yep.
But that would still, or yeah. But what does he exactly say right
so,
here?
So Leto says, our ships can take 6 each. Paul then says, that's still 3 short.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Leto just says, we'll find a way.
Yeah. It's still quick.
Quick math.
He's so quick on that.
Paul's math. Really good at basic arithmetic. All right. So,
And thus starts one of the coolest flight scenes that we see in the movie.
Yes.
It's quick. It does not last incredibly long, but boy, is it exciting.
My notes say Leto does the most badass maneuver.
Yep.
And just cuts the power to his ornithopter and just dives straight down.
Yep.
You see his other two escorts follow him, and they get like this super cool sequence right as they're about to hit the ground. He just like pops the wings open, mm-hmm. and they just like do a quick glide right across the surface.
Yeah.
The camera is outside of the ornithopter, and you're mm-hmm. seeing like this formation happening, and over the radio you just hear, this is Duke Leto Atreides, we're coming down to extract the crew of Delta Ajax Niner, we're setting down in the west.
Yep.
And it's like that sequence is so fucking cool.
It's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
They fold back the wings, which is something we've seen the ornithopters do.
Did you get some callbacks to your time in Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Oh yeah, this is one of the first things you learn in the ornithopters, how to do this nosedive.
Oh hell yeah.
It's really hard to recover from it. So,
how many times have you crashed?
Oh, many more than I have not. So
I'm gonna go downstairs, get my Lego ornithopter, and we can try
right. I did have mine out last night as I was watching this, because I was being a child and was like, yeah, I was doing it.
Yeah.
Of course I was.
Hey, smoke them if you got them, right?
Yeah, retracts the wings back, goes into a very, very fast nosedive, and they build up a lot of speed when they do this.
Yeah.
And then right before they hit the ground.
I don't know if you know this, but gravity is the thing. And when you reduce your surface area, you have less wind resistance. So you're able to hit that terminal velocity a lot faster. And then when you open the wings up, you just drastically increase your surface area. It kind of acts as like an air brake. I'm deliberately being reductive. So, okay. So one thing to podcast listeners, we do this with each other all the time where we're just like incredibly reductive on the most basic thing. And just to piss the other person off.
I want to see how long and how in depth you could take that.
I didn't want to go too crazy because I didn't want people to just be like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?"
They build up speed and build speed and lose altitude for a low and fast extraction. So yeah, they're hauling ass towards the harvester. I did love that the music cuts off right as the dive starts too, and you're just hearing the wind. Yeah.
And then as the wings open up, you get that music cut right back in and everything. Yeah.
Really cool sequence. It was rather quick, but that was the point.
Yep.
Great work here.
At this point, we're back in the cabin, and Paul mentions that the shield generators weigh 100 kilos each, which is roughly 220 pounds or so. So that's enough weight to jettison to, you know, add an extra person.
Yep.
Leto agrees and directs Gurney to have the other escorts jettison their generators and for Paul to stand at the back of the, quote, back of the thopters and that's, to guide the men.
That's an abbreviation that they say in the books too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just like an apostrophe thopter.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I'm glad they say that.
That's what I put in my notes. In my notes, it's either Orny or thopter.
Yeah, it's always OT so. For me. At certain times in the books, whenever they kick the wings into like the fast flutter that we see.
Yeah.
They call that like full thopter because it's just hovering. It's got the wings flapping, doing their thing.
Full thopter.
Yeah. And it's just a full ornithopter at that point. It's not being aided by like the rocket engines in the back to move forward or anything like that. So yeah, it's a full thopter.
So Leto directs Gurney to have the escorts jettison their generators and Paul to help everyone back into the thopters and over comms. Delta Ajax Niner, put 7 men each in my ships now, which is another moment of you could have said that better, but you know,
yeah,
in each of my ships instead of 7 men each in my ships, but yeah,
whatever. He's under pressure, man.
I'm not going to nitpick. I'm not. I mean, I am.
But seems like you're. I mean, this is the place to pick nits if you're going to.
Look, it's picking season. All right.
He's barking out orders. Still very cool and collected. As a Duke
should do.
Yep.
You know. But he's being respectful about it.
He's very calm and collected while he's doing this. He's going fast.
He's a pilot.
Yep. Yep. So he's doing a good job. I'm trying to think of, I think that's about all the notes I had on the movie, man. I did have some book differences.
I want to call you out on some bullshit.
Okay.
Real quick though. Start of the week, you mentioned something about how, Leto didn't necessarily seem like a good pilot because like he made a maneuver that made everyone shift a little bit. But when you watch this dive, motherfucker's a good pilot.
Well, in that moment, he didn't seem like it. That was like a really jerky, like halt and whatever. You know, that's all I said.
All I'm saying is just put respect on this man's skills. He's a good pilot.
All right. He's a good pilot.
all right.
Yes. Some book
comparison
differences.
Time.
Yes. So there are slightly more workers in the harvester in the books. I believe they have like a complement of like 25 or something close to 30 or something like that.
Okay.
So it makes Paul's quick math a little bit harder.
You know, I get it.
So they still
add 3 or 4 more people into the mix and that just really throws some wrenches into all of your numbers.
So. Yeah, exactly. In the books, they enlist the help of the spotters.
Okay.
To carry people away. So we talked earlier this week, or we kind of theorized or pondered upon
that they were man driven rather than drones.
Yeah, so. Manned or autonomous drones. It's very clear in the books that they are manned.
Okay.
And they each of the spotters is able to carry like two or three additional people.
Yeah, they look like escape capsule size. Yeah. So.
Yep. So they help out. The spotters land on the east of the harvesters, the ornithopters on the west.
Yep.
And no equipment is shed from the ornithopters in the books. They don't have to like reduce weight.
Okay.
It does get cramped, and they do start to talk about like the weight and whether that it's going to like break the wings off if they're too much weight. And Leto's basically like, I fucking got this, dude.
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Him and Gurney go back and forth a little bit. Yeah. He's like, I got this.
Gurney, I don't question your ass when it comes to fighting.
Yeah.
Don't question me when it comes to flying.
Right. Exactly. Those are the two major differences that I saw in the book versus this movie scene, or at least this portion of the scene.
Okay.
But again, they're still going pretty daggum close to the books, which is great.
It's impressive how well they've stuck to the book, and the changes that they make are as unoffensive as possible in most cases. We'll get to some changes
sure.
here in the next couple weeks that we have a guest that's lined up for a few weeks down from now who is going to have some opinions on some certain characters. And that's totally fine because, frankly, all of his opinions are correct. but, you know, we'll get to that a little bit later on.
Teaser.
All things considered, though, the changes that they've made that we've seen are all pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
and it's also a testament to how good Hank Ferbert's writing is.
Gotta love Hank Ferbert.
Frank Herbert's writing is really good. It's very descriptive. It's at points it's very descriptive, and it makes an adaptation all the easier.
Yeah. Do you think the A-team van could have carried all 21 people?
Of course.
Yeah.
It would have been in and out with 3 minutes to spare.
A-team van was already on the ground. It was driving next to the crawler this whole time. Yeah. Mr. T's just inside it. Just get in.
I've never seen the A-team.
You've never.
Okay. I mean, I know it as a buck
you,
a pool.
You know of the property and everything, but yeah. You never like watched fucking the A-team when you were homesick from school.
We didn't have cable growing up.
It probably was on like PBS ass, like had the antenna sticking up from the top of your TV and could watch it.
Oh, well, I mean, we had one on the roof, but yeah.
Sorry. Some of us were poor growing up.
La-dee-da. I was Price is Right when I'm homesick. Price is Right and a cup of noodle.
Homesick for me was, and I did this yesterday, when 2 days ago when I was sick, How It's Made.
Oh, sure.
The perfect homesick.
Agreed. Show. Agreed.
We should do How It's Made Minute.
No. No, absolutely not.
There's only 35 seasons of How It's Made, Zach.
Now, we talked about the Dune Second podcast where we review each second of the Dune Minute podcast.
Oh, God. all right.
Yeah, we've clearly run out of things to talk about on this one. So we'll wrap it up here. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we are on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can send us a good old-fashioned email at duneminute@gmail.com.
That's right. Feel free to rate and comment on the show. You can also share the show with your friends if you have any friends that you think would like this level of insanity about a movie. Or even the ones that you think wouldn't.
If you don't like the show, share it with your enemies.
Yeah, why not? More people that listen to it, the better for everyone. But thank you for listening, and we will see you tomorrow to close out the week with Minute 64.
All right. See you then.
Later.